dynamicsindications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3360-808.
I'm Sean Dindley. The first law passed after the upcoming federal election would lock in extra tax cuts proposed by the Coalition if Scott Morrison wins the poll. The Prime Minister has laid out his legislative priorities for Australia's next Parliament, with shoring up promised tax relief topping the list. He says it's your money and you should get to keep more of what you earn. Security measures also rank highly in the Liberal National Team's plans, with the Coalition eager to pass a law that would delay people who've been fighting abroad with terrorist links from returning to Australia. Making it easier to strip foreign fighters of their Australian citizenship is also a priority. A spate of bills locking in funding promised in last month's federal budget would also be addressed quickly. Three nurses and a patient have been injured when a female patient became violent while being treated at Sydney's Royal Prince Albert Hospital. Police say a nurse caring for the patient about 8:30pm last night called for help when the woman became agitated. When two other nurses came to help, it's alleged the patient grabbed hold of one of them and took her scissors. During the ensuing struggle, two of the nurses were cut on their arms and another was stabbed in the back. The patient then entered a neighbouring room where she allegedly assaulted another patient. She was finally restrained by hospital security and other medical staff, and she is now under police guard in hospital as inquiries continue. The death of a man who was found in a Brisbane unit and taken to hospital where he later died has been labelled suspicious by Queensland Police. A 42-year-old man was taken to hospital after emergency services were called to a unit on Osborne Road at Mitchelton just before midday yesterday. He died shortly after arriving at the Royal Brisbane and Women's Hospital. A crime scene has been established and detectives have begun investigating his death, which is believed to be suspicious. A magnitude 5.8 earthquake has struck off the eastern coast of Hokkaido, according to the US Geological Survey. The epicentre of the quake was 59 kilometres below the surface, in the sea off the coastal city of Nomuro, on the far eastern tip of the northern island of Hokkaido. Neither the Pacific Tsunami Warning Centre nor the Japanese Meteorological Agency issued a tsunami warning after the quake, which struck early this morning. The UK's two major political parties have both faced significant losses in local elections. The Conservatives and Labor both say they've been punished by voters as a result of the failure to pass a Brexit deal. The Liberal Democrat Party, which opposes Brexit, has made major gains.
Brexit has certainly been important in these local elections up and down the country. In terms of whether the major parties are listening on Brexit, they can listen as much as they like. It's whether they can do anything about it. Labour, the opposition Labour Party, is hopelessly divided itself on how to move forward in terms of Brexit. A large chunk of the party wishes Britain was staying in the European Union and wants there to be a second referendum. Another large chunk of the party believes that Brexit should now be delivered. So will it therefore make some kind of compromise with the governing Conservative Party over a Brexit deal? A very difficult dilemma for it. When it comes to the Conservatives do want to deliver Brexit for the most part when it comes to MPs at Westminster, but they are hopelessly divided on exactly what type of Brexit to deliver, how to deliver Brexit. So very difficult with a divided Conservative Party, a divided Labour Party, a divided Parliament when it comes to Brexit, to see exactly how the major parties can respond to the drubbing that they've been getting.
This is Air News. To rugby league, and Canterbury coach Dean Pay has questioned his side's attitude for a second time this season after their 18-10 loss to Manly. Less than 2 months after Pay lambasted his Bulldogs' efforts against the Warriors in the opening round, the coach was again critical last night at Lotto Land. Canterbury finished the game at 2 tries apiece with Manly, but were left to lament 2 early defensive efforts on their left edge that gave the Sea Eagles control of the match and the ability to kick ahead. To football, and Edinson Cavani has missed a late penalty given after a video review as French League One champions Paris Saint-Germain's stuttering form continued in a 1-1 draw with Nice. Referee Frank Schneider awarded the penalty for a crude foul by Brazilian defender Dante on Neymar in the 88th minute. Neymar had already shot over the bar when Dante crudely caught his right foot and also appeared to handle the ball when he initially controlled it. Neymar converted a penalty in the second half to draw PSG level, notching up his 14th league goal. But he let Cavani take the second penalty and goalkeeper Walter Benitez guessed right to palm the shot away. The draw means PSG have won only one of their past 7 games, including a French Cup final defeat against Rennes last weekend. And in tennis, Chile's Christian Garin has upset third-seeded Marco Cecchinato 6-2, 6-4 to reach his third ATP final of the season at the Munich Open. Less than 24 hours after beating top seed and two-time Munich winner Alexander Zverev, Garin produced another clinical display yesterday as he saved both break points he faced to beat his Italian opponent. Australian Independent Radio News.
You've won the plumbing contract. Now, all you need is to hire the extra staff and the equipment to deliver the project. So, you call OnDeck, the small business loan specialist. We've helped thousands of small business owners get ahead with loans of up to $250,000. Get approval in hours and funds in your account as early as the next business day. At OnDeck, we say yes to small business. So for a loan to help you get ahead, apply now at ondeck.com.au. All loans are subject to lender approval.
This June, one huge night in the battle for dominance. Mate versus mate, state versus state, in the first ever professional bull riders Monster Energy Origin event at the ICC Theater in the heart of Sydney. It's the ultimate bull riding battle for state pride. Queensland versus New South Wales. Don't miss the professional bull riding battle of Origin Saturday, June 1st. On sale now at Ticketek.com.au. Buckle up, Sydney, and expect the unexpected.
Do you run a wholesale or manufacturing company? Want to know about the best software and latest trends for your business? Then the Apps for Wholesalers Conference and Technology Showcase is for you. Held in Parramatta on Thursday, May 23, it's a year's learning in one day. Featuring a showcase of the best technology and a selection of speakers on a range of topics, from how to select the right software to marketing and succession planning. Visit appsforwholesalers.com for details. That's apps, the number 4, wholesalers.com. Use the promo code RADIO for your free ticket and save $55.
Mum, what am I? I'm about the size of a credit card. I can turn into a Dyson hairdryer or the latest smartwatch. I can turn into a Sunbeam toaster or a Breville coffee machine. I'm stainless steel. I'm gleaming white. I'm fluoro pink. I'm all these things and much, much more. Mum, do you know what I am?
No, you're an idiot.
No, Mum. I'm a special Mother's Day gift card at Bingley.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea when you've got no idea what to get. Celebrate Mum with a gift card at Bingley.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. Oh, the Tabs made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horses finish. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Big win for Wayne, and in there goes John Sutton.
He's good.
He gets the ball down and goes his way towards the southern end of the ground.
Sutton threw it. It's 1-3.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome to the program. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. It is the 5th of May. It is Ray and Jimmy right up until 10 o'clock. They make us stay here, I think, on Sunday. So we'll, I guess we'll have to do it again, contractually, obviously.
Well, I don't want to be here.
See, this is the way you misconstrue some of the things
that
I
say.
Why
would you say that? Because this is our job.
Oh, I understand that. and thoroughly enjoy it, too. Yeah, no one gets more excited than you nor I when it comes to Sunday morning between 7 and 10, right?
And they pay us to do it, which is extraordinary.
it really is.
It really is.
Don't give them ideas, though, Ray. 1353-53 is the open line number. We've got a massive program coming up. Joe Pride, a couple of winners for him yesterday. So we'll have a chat with Joe. Might have been a little disappointment for the yard, but good work with Brooke Magic. I think surprised everyone. Mm. Brooke Magic, passage of time as well. Jean Van Overmeer, good ride on renewal.
Wasn't a good ride.
Yeah, I've had Ray Thomas talk me through why exactly it is a good ride. What made it such a good ride.
Did it make any sense?
Well, I thought, when I watched the race, I thought, how did he get there at about the 400-metre mark? And that's what I thought was very impressive. So, well done. We'll have the scratchings around New South Wales, Queensland, all over the place, really, because we're a national program now. Zorba will be on to talk some rugby league.
He'd be happy. Seagulls keep winning for him.
Aren't they going well? Robbie Dolan, a couple of winners for Robbie yesterday at headquarters as well. We'll have a chat with Jared Daffy from tab.com.au, and then we'll go globetrotting across to the Kentucky Bunbury, and we'll see the running of the Kentucky Bunbury. Now, for those people who don't know what I'm talking about with the Kentucky Bunbury, I read a little par this morning in the newspaper written by my colleague Ray Thomas that said there was a toss of the coin back in 1779.
Correct.
Between, is it the Earl of Derby?
The 12th Earl of Derby and a gentleman called Sir Charles Bunbury.
Right.
They invented a new race.
They said, look, we should get the three-year-olds running around and we'll do that. Okay, well, what are we going to call it? Well, here, we'll toss a coin and whoever wins the toss of the coin gets to call the race. So that's why we're at the Kentucky Derby today, as they call it in the US, and not the Kentucky Bunbury. But a great story, Roman. I like that.
Aside, you know who won the first English Derby?
No,
what's called Diomed.
Right.
Owned by
Mr.
Sir
Bunbury?
Charles Bunbury. You wouldn't believe it, would you?
There you go. Team Bulldog Richie with all the lads in the world of rugby league. We'll have a sports update with Tanya. Phil Moss will give us his thoughts on the A-League.
And what about the EPL? Liverpool, a late winner. 3-2 for the good guys.
Clinging on.
Over Newcastle United, go back to the top.
Look at Ray. Ray was just looking at the stats going, one loss.
It is horrendous if they don't win this title. Massive game against Leicester on Tuesday morning for Man City. Go Leicester.
Event Cinemas quiz. We've got a score update in that.
Is it 9-8?
It is. We'll also have the China Doll long-time listener quiz. The event cinemas, that's a VMAX. And we'll have, for the best contribution, Wingman and Winks package that we often give out. One of the big stories around sport at the moment is, of course, Israel Folau. Mm-hmm. Roman, I know you were working yesterday at Royal Randwick, but just up the road, all sorts of things going on at the headquarters of Rugby Australia. Raylene Castle was there in her role as CEO. Apparently Israel has rejected an initial offer from Rugby Australia of $1 million and say, there you go, go away. He wants his $4 million. But it's interesting, a lot of people are saying he will never, ever, ever play rugby in this country again for the Wallabies or for the Waratahs. What's been your take on Israel Folau?
It's a very interesting story, isn't it, for a myriad of reasons. It seems also that a lot of the players now don't want to play alongside Israel Folau again.
Yes.
It's such a difficult thing, though, Jim, because he has effectively been vilified and persecuted for his religious beliefs. Yet in the Rugby Australia Code and contractual obligations, you cannot be discriminated against because of your religious beliefs. The only winner out of all this is going to be the lawyers. They were there for 8 hours yesterday.
Yes.
Part two continues today. There'll be no decision made. The lawyers are having a field day over this.
As was pointed out to me during the course of the week, he was quoting directly, almost directly from the Bible, Israel Folau, in his post. And as unsavoury as people may find it, and I'm one of those people, he's quoting directly from the Bible. What do you do when you're asked to be a witness in a court of law?
You're asked to swear on the Bible.
And so what they're saying is that record that we're using for you to be seen as a reliable and credible and truth-telling witness, you can't quote directly from it. It's now been used against you.
It is extraordinary. And, of course, democracy is about free speech.
Yes.
I'm not taking sides here, but world's gone wacky, hasn't it? Jim, on Friday, a lot of school kids took time off school to demonstrate against climate change and against government and action against climate change.
Yes.
Children as young as 10 were chanting, kill the Prime Minister. What has the world come to that we allow these things and a rugby union player is going to get vilified for his religious beliefs?
Yes.
freedom of speech is so important, but where does restraint, respect, common decency come into play?
It's a good point, Raymond. 1353-53. I thought we were a sports program. I didn't realise that we were...
Oh, we got off track a bit there. But it is an important issue, isn't it? It's such... And this will be a test case for so many things going forward now in relation to Israel Folau and just what Rugby Australia decide.
It is not unrelated. Anyone at the SCG last night, anyone watching at home, would have seen an incredible individual performance from Latrell Mitchell.
He is the most exciting player in rugby league right now. You'd walk over broken glass to watch Latrell Mitchell play. Is that a fair call?
Well, I was at home and my good wife, Tracy, was not watching the game closely, but you know, doing
say,
a few
come
things.
And watch this.
I would just say, oh, wow, have a look at this. You'd come and have a look at it and go... Well,
Bradman, when Stan McCabe was there that time.
I was playing the role of Don Bradman. I was calling all the other Australian players out...
We got Bradman in early.
To watch Stan McCabe bat, all right? So it just... He makes, and I know, look, he's got some brilliant players around him. Boyd Cordner, Luke Keary, James Tedesco,
but
Daniel Tupou.
Incredible things, but individually.
The one where he set up Keary with the kick, where if you see where he came from, he was outside Daniel Tupou, and then he just went, you know what, I'm just going to run a hard line in there and see whether Tedesco finds me. Tedesco did. Mm. He brushed away from three defenders. Then he had Tedesco on his left. He said, no, what I'll do, I'll kick it through there.
Outside of his foot.
And it bounced up perfectly for Keary.
He does the most incredible... Is he the most exciting player in rugby league right now?
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that. Because even though I'm not a Roosters fan, I know you have allegiances to that club. You want to watch the Roosters when they play. Not only because they're a great football side right now. They're the best in the comp.
Yes.
But he is just compelling viewing. And he loves the game, doesn't he? He's got a joy about the way he goes about the game. He loves it. Loves being involved. He's just great to watch. So's Keary, so's Tedesco, so's that football team.
What about Benny and his bunnies on Thursday
night?
They
were very, very good. But, gee, the bounce of the ball went their way 18-0 before anyone had a chance to blink an eyelid. The Broncos were out of the game. All three tries, an element of luck to them, but they're playing well. I know the Rabbits.
I heard Anthony Seibold in the press conference after the match. He was very positive about it and spoke about those things. Look, you know, the one try that they gave up in that first half was the one where they were trying to chase a try. And so it was 24-0, and you know, his thoughts on all of that. To all our Queensland and Brisbane listeners, I would love to know your thoughts on the way the Broncos are playing. They are 2-6. They are 2-6. There's a host of sides on 4 points.
And they've lost their halfback.
And I don't know whether they lost him or pushed his at their halfback. Either way, they haven't got their halfback.
What would you take on that?
I think it's a decision that they're looking at the long-term future of the club. I think Thomas Dearden is that. Thomas Dearden provides them with exactly what Cody Nikorima couldn't do. As good a player as Cody Nikorima is, and he's an international, he doesn't do what they need, Thomas Dearden does.
He played quite well, didn't he? Didn't make a mistake.
He's a young kid that's going to be a star.
Yeah.
How big a star? That's up to Thomas. 1353-53 is the open line number. Interesting comments from Raylene Boyle overnight. She's been on this program. She was our legend of the game. She was fascinating to listen to. Mm. She was sitting on her veranda out the back. I think there was a bushland in front of her. And she was amazing the ride that she took us on and the listeners on that one. She's been very strong. Thomas Bark, the IOC president, was in the house. She was very strong about what happened to her in the 1972 Munich Olympics. Renata Stecher won the 100 and 200 metres. She was an East German under a regime of consistent and systematic doping. Mm-hmm. And Raylene...
And there's evidence that she was involved with that. As part of that government program.
Absolutely. Now it's beyond the statute of limitations. And Raylene said, no, I want my medals.
There's a lot of people out there who really deserve medals that they didn't get. And we have a lot in this country. Forget me. It's not me I'm talking for. These people should be readdressed. This whole East German thing should be readdressed because it is all outlined in the museum. You go, you pull out drawers, you can see what the women were taking, why they were running so fast. And I really think that our family of the past deserve to be re-looked at. I do. And I do, in many ways, feel let down by both the IOC and WADA. And it isn't the time to bring it up because the Olympics are going ahead in leaps and bounds, which is great.
You know what? It is the time to bring it up, isn't it? And it's the time to continually bring it up because you'd hear the emotion in her voice.
Oh.
She's She's effectively been dutted out of two gold medals.
Her life has been changed.
Yep.
Dramatically.
And she is a great Australian sporting legend.
Yes.
But those two gold medals should be hers.
Yes.
Is the IOC in a position where if they open up the Raylene Ball case, it opens up a can of worms? Because how many then do they have to
open
have back
it.
In? I'm with you. Just
I mean, there's going to be a cost to it. But
make it right.
How much should justice cost?
Make it right.
Yeah. 100 metres and 200 metres. Mm. Like, they're the Blue Riband events.
Exactly. Yep.
And she didn't win gold, and her life was changed forever.
And there was a stain on that Olympics, and Olympics before and subsequent.
Yes.
For people knew it was happening. There was just no proof. It was only subsequent to the Germany unification that
yes.
all this evidence has come out, and it's unequivocal.
She's an incredible woman, mm-hmm. Raylene Boyle, let alone athlete. Incredible woman. 13:53:53. We'll take your thoughts on that just before we go to our break. We've got our talk topic. Today was an unusual day. We weren't scrambling at 2:02 about who will make it.
Two or three choices.
Oh, everyone walked in with about four choices, except Hamish, panel operator Hamish. He usually walks in with about four. Three you immediately dismiss. And I'm talking about you, the world's nicest bloke.
Oh, Hamish, you don't want to kill a guy's confidence. You want him to contribute to the show.
I understand that. But that's just the way it goes on a Sunday morning.
The way you're saying things, Jim, we discussed this earlier about Israel. Anyway, keep going.
You shouldn't be criticised for your religious beliefs. You shouldn't be criticised for your talk topic beliefs either.
You want people
you're
to
right?
contribute.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Okay. So, our talk topic for today, after we had many options that were floating around, brilliant individual performances.
On the back of Latrell?
On the back of Latrell Mitchell. We reckon he's... They were talking about it last night on the coverage. A good old-fashioned 10 out of 10 in Rugby League Week. Remember that 10 out of 10? Peter Sterling got two of them.
He got one against St George in the opening of Parramatta Stadium, didn't he, 86?
Correct, correct.
But where was the second one?
The second one was against the Roosters at the same ground.
Was it?
Yeah, 87.
Is he the only player to get
he's
10
He's the
twice?
Only player ever to get a 10 twice.
Still,
long time listener to the program too. So
what a player.
Yeah,
still, one of those guys who always had so much time. You know, like B. Kenny, always had so much time, ball in hand.
Yeah,
didn't
yeah.
Great
so
to watch.
What about you? Brilliant individual performance.
Okay. 2012 Wimbledon.
Yes.
Can I go there? Jim, do you mind? Well, the set and a half.
Difficult to stop you, I'd imagine.
Okay, we're set. Oh.
We are all really fortunate to be seeing this right now.
Hamish on the ball. Anyway, set and a half into the final. Andy Murray's up, a set and a break, and on top. From that moment, I don't think Roger Federer made a mistake. He won Wimbledon, his seventh record equaling seventh title in four sets, and the last three sets were as good a tennis you ever wish to see. It was spellbinding.
And you were there.
I was there.
And you were there to witness brilliance.
Hardy made a mistake. Yours, Jim?
I remember watching that game against the Roosters. From Sterlo's point of view. Donald George Bradman, 1930, Headingley.
Yeah.
Changed the way cricket was viewed. Changed the way we thought about what batsmen could do. Now, in fairness, they did bowl... I think it's 42 eight-ball overs in that first session. So there's no shortage. But to score 100 and 100 and 100. 309 not out overnight.
Yeah, he got 89 the last session.
Yeah, he slowed down. That was really...
You've
got to be tired.
You've got 300 in a day, though.
309 not in the day, thought it was. And 334 all up. Averaged 113 in that series. And
check that.
Brought about the emergence of Bodyline. You know, that's why they did it.
Next Ashes tour.
The way he batted in that tour.
And they all thought he'd struggle with the moving ball in England, in English condition. Remember that?
With the Duke balls back then? Were they?
I don't know. But he made a mess of that.
So there you go. Don Bradman, Headingley, in 1930.
He got the Donnie. Well done. He's had a run twice already.
Yeah. It's an emotional day for you, Roman. It's fantastic. 13:53:53. We've got a Wingman beer and Winks book to give away. How's it?
Manuscripts arrived.
No. I'm not interested in the arrival of the manuscript. I'm more interested in the arrival of a cheque of some description.
Oh, no.
Maybe a direct deposit.
James Smith will do the negotiations for me. Actually, Tanya and I were discussing this last night. I said, I've got the manuscript for the reprint.
And I hope Tanya's first question was, Ray.
You got it. Yeah, I said, I'm going to talk to Jimmy about this.
I want all my employees to be like Ray Thomas. Never ask for anything. 1353 53, the Apple line number. We'll take a break and we'll be back with more.
Mum, we have a very precious gift card right now at Bingley.
Define precious.
I thought of it and I'm precious.
Yes, Lano, you are.
Spend $650 or more on a washer or dryer at Bingley and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $250.
That is precious. Send again.
A bonus gift card worth up to $250 when you buy a washer or dryer at Bingley.
Wow.
It was all my idea.
Don't be precious.
Conditions apply.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tabs made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Kevin Tari dashes away in the round with Guinea.
Speed.
It's Harry Angel that wins the July Cup.
Class.
Here comes the favourite Astern, and the colt is letting rip with a big run.
Brilliant. You'll find them all on the Darley roster, from local hero to world-renowned champion, proven stallions to the next big thing. See our new roster and fees at darley.com.au. Success in the ring and on the track starts with a Darley stallion, and the rest will follow.
It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one sale of its type. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 22 to 24 on the Gold Coast. Over 725 lots by a record 119 individual sires, including 28 exciting first season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Fiero, Zoo Star, Seasons Bloom and Red Cell. It's also the premier sale for Penhook Success. View the online catalogue now at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast, May 22 to 24. The biggest, the best.
It looks like Magna Grisha on the stand side, 10 sovereigns on the far side, the two stable companions chased by Skardu far side, Magna Grisha this side, Magna Grisha's out in front, it's a 10th 2,000 guineas for Aidan O'Brien, Donna O'Brien on Magna Grisha from King of Change.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And that was Magna Grisha winning overnight at famous Newmarket, Jim. That's Aidan O'Brien's 10th English 2,000 guineas win in 21 years. What a record.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Oh, look, I just before we get to the race replays, I want to point out something that was written in a Phil Rothfield article on Monday, and it gave more time to a fellow who describes himself as Don from Carlton.
Good friend of the show. Good morning, Don.
Well, he listens to the show, so let's just leave it at that. And he, to the point where he highlighted said article and his acknowledgement, and basically what he was saying in his article, Phil, was that early on in the game, Don from Carlton was berating Dragons fullback Matt Dufty. By the end of the game, he was praising him.
Saluting him, wasn't he?
Yeah, and so Don has somehow my phone number, and he sent me a copy of the article and highlighted it and said, article in yesterday's Telegraph by Phil Rothfield, I'm a multimedia star, Jimmy, something you should aspire to. And then he went on to say, I sat directly behind Buzz. We chatted during the game. He asked me where I was from. I said, I'm Don from Carlton. He said, are you the Don that gives it to Jimmy Smith each week? I said, yep. He said, keep doing it. Right, so my point to this, all this does, this is my response, all this does is highlight two things I already knew. One, you are a fair-weather fan of the Dragons and their players. Two, Buzz Rothfield listens to the program religiously, right? And the third thing Don came back and said was, the third is, the BSB weekend is nothing without Big Don from Carlton, who has a horde of admiring fans.
There you go.
Don's words, not mine.
That's okay. Good interaction between you two. Haven't heard from Don this morning. I wonder if he's awake listening to the show. On our talk topic, this one's from Steve. What about Brian Lara? 400 not out in Test cricket and his 501 in first class cricket. Individual performances.
Individual performances, yeah. Mm. I think he was dropped on... Was he dropped on 13
in
for the 501?
Yeah, early doors. Look,
yeah, he dropped... Oh, dear me.
And Eagle-Eyed Phil quite rightly pointed out, 42 eight ball overs when Don Bradman got his 309 not out in a day. Now they can't bowl 36 ball.
No, they can't. He's exactly
in one
right.
Session, it's just
he's exactly
amazing.
Right.
Race replays yesterday. We'll go straight into race two. Brooke Magic. Joe Pribor was a bit concerned about her trial form. Didn't matter on race day.
Hard
conquered a clear second, three lengths away, Mossman Gorge. Brook Magic's off the bridle, fourth, then Revenir back to the inside. Exceltic tries to run on, then November Man. Hard conquered after Golden Tycoon towards the furlong pole. They're still clear of Brook Magic, Mossman Gorge. Hard conquered took a narrow lead from Golden Tycoon. Brook Magic's going to come late. Hard conquered's in front. Brook Magic's coming, November Man late. Brook Magic! Brook Magic over the top of either Hart Conquered or November Man.
Just helter skelter over the 1,000 metres, isn't it? We'll have a chat with Joe Pride and Robbie Dolan, but the future for Brook Magic?
He'll try and win another race probably here, but there's a stakes race in Brisbane. I think
right.
Joe has got his eyes on, but we'll ask him that shortly. On to race four. Now, Nobu went to New Zealand, ran terribly in New Zealand Derby. His comeback, one run back, was much better yesterday. Put himself right back in the frame for the Queensland Derby.
Top of the straight, Sodalon joined by Barton, Eugene's pick. Nobu's quickly lengthening out wider though. Ombudsman couldn't match it. Sprint Duchess of Lennox next. Nobu quickly swept upon the lead at the 200 metres mark. Oh, it's off and gone with the money here. Nobu, Ombudsman, Duchess of Lennox, Eugene's pick, all there for the miners. But Nobu is pricked, wins by a minute. Duchess of Lennox got up for second. Ombudsman third in.
Yeah, just looking at the Queensland Bunbury, that'll be on the 8th of June.
You like that, don't you?
Yeah, it's fantastic. Gem Song and Mr. Quickie at $7. If you're looking for Nobu, lovely restaurant, $11.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. On to race 8. We mentioned earlier Renewal. In colours worn by Jean Van Overmeer, which are virtually Talix colours.
How did that come about?
I don't know. I must ask Trevor Love about that. But anyway, he's no Talix, but he's a pretty good horse. His name is Renewal.
Elverman fourth, and then followed Renewal, who's quickly got into the race on the outside. Two lengths to Star of the Sea, Spring Charlie, followed then by Articus and Tip Top. Renewal took over at the 200 metres mark. Star of the Sea's two lengths away, trying to give chase. Then followed by Articus and Tip Top. It's Renewal clear, 100 metres left to run. Star of the Sea's about a length and a half away, but won't bridge back the margin. Renewal's too strong. Renewal won it. Star of the Sea's second, and Articus up for third.
We're going to have a chat with Jen Van Overmeer a little bit later, but that was an outstanding ride, and we spoke about it a little bit earlier. Just looking for Renewal in the TAB Stradboat market, not there. Osborne Bulls and Zoo Style are there, top of the market at $6.
Yep. Month to go to the Stratty, always a great race. Two Group 1 races in Adelaide yesterday. That man, D. Oliver, was on fire. Here's the first of them. It's the Australasian Oaks. Her name is Princess Jenny.
So Moret ran to the lead here. Going back to the inside, Shawnee with Collectible Aristia. House of Cartier runs on and getting through Princess Jenny now. Princess Jenny for Oliver. House of Cartier out wider. Still there was Moret. It's Princess Jenny. House of Cartier. Quafila late, but Princess Jenny. Oliver with a beauty, and he wins his fourth Oaks here in Adelaide. House of Cartier prominent for second with Moret and Quafila.
Just looking for Princess Jenny in the Queensland Oaks market.
I don't know if she's there because she's had a bit of travelling, Jim. She went from Melbourne to Sydney, back to Melbourne, on to Adelaide. I think that was her grand final yesterday.
Scarlet Dream, top of the market there for tab.com.au at $7. And then we've got Winning Ways and Word for Word at $8.
Okay. And with D. Oliver again, gee, I was happy to see Gary Fraser back in the Group 1 winner's circle 20 years after his last Group 1 with Quickstar.
Is that right?
Yeah, he's the father-in-law, of course, of Ty England. So tremendous to see Sprite
get
the job done in the Sangster Stakes.
Sprite second last, turning for home. Divine Quality last. Cool Passion led. Tried to kick here. Led from Thrillster, Bella Martini, Lady Cosmology, Everyday Lady running a race. Sprite's hooked out very wide, but Cool Passion in front from Everyday Lady. Then Bella Martini, Sprite out wide. It's in front here, trying to hang on. Cool Passion, Sprite swapping it. Oliver gets the double. The Group 1 double to Ollie. Sprite, and she deserved that. She mowed down Cool Passion late. Bella Martini third, then Everyday.
And we are going to have a discussion around how many Group 1s Damien Oliver has won. Raymond, you have some new information around that.
Yes, and there was various reports this morning he's within two of George Moore's record. Now,
George Moore's record is?
It was 119 Australian Group 1s. That's been restructured. It's 104 Australian Group 1s. Damien Oliver now has the record with 113.
Right.
Now, in terms of the international records, George Moore won a heap overseas, and his total Group 1s is 126. Damon Oliver's up to 117 now. Not to say he can't catch George Moore, but that's the correct standings.
Okay, so there you go.
And just on individual performances for Magic Mike, Morning Boys, individual performance of Damien Oliver overcoming tragedy 6 days prior to winning the Melbourne Cup. Actually, 8 days, on Media Pulse. Remember,
his brother Jason
died in a Barry trial in Perth on the Monday. 8 days later, he won the Melbourne Cup on Media Puzzle in 2002. And, of course, there he was yesterday winning two more Group 1s.
Famously looked to the heavens after he went past the winning post, didn't he?
Wasn't a dry eye in the house that day.
Just an incredible day, incredible day. Now, we had Brett Keeble send us in a SMS saying, Andrew Johns, Game 2, State of Origin, 2005.
2005, was it?
Yeah. Absolutely outstanding performance. Just incredible. 1353 is the open line number. Why don't we get to some callers before we have our guests on the line? Adam is there. Wants to have his chat. G'day, Adam.
Good morning, James. Am I first up?
Oh, Adam. Straight out of the barriers. You ping the barriers.
Always get the best up first, James. You can't go wrong after that. It's all downhill. Sorry to everyone else.
What do you got for us?
Latrell.
Yeah.
We all know he's a superstar, but he could be the best ever. Watching his performance last night.
How good is he to watch, Adam? Because every time he's involved, whether he's got the football in hand, whether he's defensively, anything, he's just compelling, isn't he?
Like a big kid in the under sixes. When he wants to do something, just gets the ball and just runs over the top of someone.
The incredible thing about it is, you know, last night the commentators were, you know, making the comparisons to Greg Inglis and making the comparisons to Mal Meninga, two of the all-time greats. The thing about Latrell is he touches the ball, and stats say this, about 7 or 8 times a game, mostly, on average.
Yep.
Imagine if he pushed it to 12 or 13.
What damage
or 14.
He could do. Yeah.
Like, could be anything.
Could just blows games apart. Mm. He's great to watch.
Where are you off to today, James?
I'll be heading out to Bankwest Stadium to call the game.
You're the biggest man in sport.
Yeah, the Eels and the Dragons. I'm looking forward to that, Adam. Thanks for the call, Adam. And while I'm at it, Ray, are you headed anywhere today?
Tan, I thought you were going to talk to him about this. Oh, well, we're going out to Bankwest Stadium.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, Tanya's Parramatta support on St George.
Yeah, that's right. It's an obvious one to go to. Just wondering, last time we were out there, which was the opening game, I could just look down and there you were in the corporate area. You were on the ground taking selfies on the ground. You were Tanya.
Tanya was, yeah.
Any of that today?
No. Jeez, you're hard, man.
No, I'm not.
My good friend Arthur Stanley said you've got to come out again.
Did he?
Yeah. So
he insisted.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, fair enough. Hello, Chris.
Morning, boys. How are you going?
Morning, Chris.
Morning, Ray. How are you?
Terrific, mate. What do you got for us, Chris?
Mate, I was at the game last night, so I'd have to agree with Adam. That was one of definitely the best performances I've seen, for sure. But got another one for you guys.
Yeah.
When I think about sport, I love going and watching it live. And I must admit, 3rd of January 2017, when David Warner scored 100 in the first session, made of 4 off the last ball of the morning session to get his 100. And I think it was off around about 75 to 80 balls.
That's
so.
Right.
That'll do it for me, mate.
Who was that again?
Pakistan.
That's right.
Sure.
I think we're in Fiji. I missed that, but he just went berserk, didn't he, Chris?
And he did.
As
mate,
David Warner can do.
Yeah. Every shot in the book, mate, just shows his quality and how good he is. And let's hope he gets back to that when we bring him back.
And you know what, Chris? This is the thing, and it's a great call, and thank you for it. This is why Ian Chappell, was it last week or the week before, said...
Yep.
I know Khawaja has better numbers when he opens, but you've just got to have Warner in that opening position.
It's going.
It just puts all the pressure on the bowler.
Yeah, and the defensive and the fielding team. If he gets going, he and Finch get going. Imagine what Australia could get in that first 15, 20 overs.
But you think about the thinking of the bowler is, if he gets going, okay, that's going to be... But think about the bowler when he's thinking, if I don't get it right, so all that pressure comes back on that player as opposed to... the batsman. Good call, Chris.
Yeah, our good friend Tom has just SMS'd. Bradman got 105, 115 and 89 in those 3 sessions. He got tired in the last session, Jim.
Yeah.
But he also pointed out, quite rightly, Jimmy and Ray, I would say that Jim Lakers, 9 for 37 and 10 for 53 in the same test at Old Trafford in 1956 is the most remarkable single performance in a test match. Tony Locke took the 3rd wicket in Australia's first innings, so Laker took 17 wickets in a row. Extraordinary, isn't it? 19 out of 20 in a test match.
That is amazing. Obviously, didn't happen in one day, but we take your point about an individual performance. Good one. Tommy, 13:53:53. EJ is there. G'day, EJ.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you?
Morning, really EJ. Well, mate.
Yeah, I've got a couple for you, actually, for individual performances. I reckon you can't really go past Tiger Woods this year for what he did.
US Masters, we've already had a couple of those.
Yeah, Mr. Squiggles had the same SMS. 100% right, EJ, and extraordinary comeback, wasn't it?
And also, I think Luke Curie for last year's grand final, he carried that team over the line.
Well, Luke Curie, yeah.
He was pretty much playing on his own in the halves. And stats bear that out.
Cooper was talking a lot.
Yeah, yeah.
Without Curie, we don't win, that's it.
That's true.
Good call. Yeah, very well done, EJ.
That is exactly right. Good on you, EJ.
EJ down?
Yeah, EJ's getting in. Yeah. Little asterisk next to Chris, too.
Hasn't he gone up a few notches now, Luke Curie? He's an elite, elite player, isn't he?
Who's your half? Who's your 5'8 for New South Wales?
I put Curie.
Ahead of Cody Walker?
Yeah. Oh.
Does Cody Walker get a look in anywhere?
On the bench as your impact player?
Ooh, I don't know whether you can carry Cody Walker on the bench.
Do you put Cody Walker in?
At this point, I think Curie shades him.
Yeah, I'd have Curie. But isn't Cody Walker playing great?
Fantastic. Yeah, absolutely. I think 13:53:53 is the open line number.
I reckon this man might have an opinion on who should play the number six for the Blues.
I reckon I know which way he'll go, too.
We'll ask him. Joe Pride's on the line. Joe, good morning. Curie or Walker?
No, I think we've got that much on Queensland this year. I'd like to see all Roosters selected. And it just gives South a really good run.
Joe, can we just cut that up and say we've got so much on Queensland this year? Because
we've got a Brisbane audience now.
Yeah, I know. Kevin Walters Queensland will be cutting it up and using it. So, look, even the horse trainers down there are giving it to us.
But your Rabbits are going great, Joe, is the stable. Two winners yesterday. And firstly, Brooke Magic, I know you admitted yesterday it took you a bit by surprise because of a barrier trial form, but I know it's after the event now, but she is brilliant fresh, isn't she?
She is, yeah. She's won I think it's 4 out of 5 now fresh. Mm. So, and you get horses like this, they just perform at that first run and then they just seem to taper a little bit. So with that in mind, what we've always done with her is just keep her on the fresh side for all her runs. But it's very hard to replicate what that physical state that they're in when they are first up just by freshening them. So.
And the trial form apparently was not overwhelming and pretty underwhelming, actually, Joe.
Yeah, look, to be fair, I guess she was coming off the longest spell she'd ever had. Maybe she was lacking a little bit in fitness.
Yes.
And but I was just more surprised than I was just surprised she didn't show speed.
Yeah.
I like my fast horses to trial with speed and legs, and she didn't do that. But it's not very often they reinvent themselves after having so many preparations. But look, she's just maybe about to do that. So.
Yeah, it's interesting. A quote you gave me yesterday, Joe, you've always felt she was one-dimensional and you pegged her as that way as an on-speed fast mare. But yesterday, new string to a bow. Does that potentially open up a chance to maybe take her to stakes level sometime this prep?
Yeah, sure. Look, I had in mind for her, if we ran well yesterday to maybe give her a go at the Lightning in Queensland in a month's time. So that gives her that 4-week break to freshen up and hopefully be just as good as she was yesterday, maybe a little bit better. She'd get in there on the minimum weight, but she'd need to get a start in the field. That might be that might also be difficult because everybody wants to be in a stakes race. I thought around Doom, but it might be a nice assignment for that.
Mm. Passage of time, excellent win. Look, maybe that a bit further distance wouldn't be a problem either, Joe. Did you get a sense of that?
Yeah, definitely. Look, he's a horse who's performed up to 1,400 metres, could well go further. And the big difference within this preparation is he was gelded when he went out. Not very often we geld 5-year-olds, but
right.
He was gelded. He had a couple of mixed preparations where he just didn't really hit the line in any of his runs, to be honest. And I think it's going to be the making of that horse. He's always had a lot of potential. He's an extremely well-bred horse. The last of the Northern Meteors.
Yes.
And beautiful, big, striding horse. And he looked really good yesterday.
I was about to say, Joe, he's a fair lump of a horse.
He is, yeah. He's got an exceptional physique. He's a bit of a Sonny Bill Williams, if you like. You know, you just sort of look at him, he just stands out amongst other athletes. And, there's another horse. I'd love to get him up to Queensland if he can. If he can keep performing.
Miss X Factor in the market, just nothing went right for her yesterday.
No, she was really disappointing. She paraded exceptionally well. She's coming off a really long break. She hadn't raced since July, and she paraded extremely well. I was super confident with her yesterday, but something went wrong as soon as she got in the gates because she just didn't want to be there. She was trying to see the footage, went to the steward's room, and she was trying to lay down. Just they had people all around her, but she just didn't. She was really resenting what was happening in there. The gates opened, she shook her head and just didn't take part in the race at all.
We're just looking at the Easy Eddie and the Doomed 10,000 and preparations. How's Easy Eddie travelling?
Super. Really happy with him. So, he's in great order. He's a horse who has really taken a big step up this preparation. And, look, probably wouldn't be considering a Doomed 10,000 at weight for age with him on many years, but I really feel this year there's a little bit of a dip and there's been quite a few high-profile retirements and just horses that will be absent from this race that otherwise might have been there.
Mm.
And feel that just sort of leaves a bit of an opportunity for a horse like him.
And he's gone to another level, hasn't he, this prep, Joe? Like the Easy Eddie we saw late last year, he's a few rungs above that now.
Yeah, definitely is. And that's the improvement they can make if they're left to mature and they stay sound, which he's, fingers crossed, which he's managed to do. Put in a really nice trial there on Friday. He's going to get his blinkers back on Saturday. And it's always been a big gear that seems to add something to his performances.
Mm. Any advice for to go, Joe, for Wayne Bennett and the Rabbits?
No, look, I wouldn't be giving them any, but they just seem to be rolling along beautifully. Love the work of some of those forwards. It's just, we've got the best pack in the comp. Even the boys coming off the bench just doing a fantastic job rolling through the rucks, and it looks good.
Yeah.
Katie Walker just scores tries for fun these days, isn't he?
They're playing well. Good on you, Joe. Congratulations on the day yesterday with the stable, and as you mentioned, a lot of exciting times coming up as well, especially with Easy Eddie. Appreciate your time this morning as well.
Thanks very much, guys.
Thanks, Joe.
There is Joe Pride, who is one of the elite trainers in Sydney right now, and a couple of wins for him yesterday. Look, this is the thing when you poke the Queenslanders, they invariably respond. You don't even need to put any bait on the hook. But Brett from Broadbeach has come back with Wally Lewis, Origin Game 2, 1989. Remember that? He scored the try.
Oh, when he ran wide and down the... Yes, old Lang Park.
Yeah. They had about... It was at the old Sydney Football Stadium.
Oh, that's right.
They had about five of them out injured. Langer had a broken leg and Linder had a broken leg and he carried them that day. And then Alan Langer, 2001, Origin return from England, none better. You can count on a Queenslander. Yeah, you can count on a Queenslander bite, Brett, when you throw out a bit of Burley. I know
Wally
that.
Wally Lewis, gee, Origin time, wasn't he just a thorn in the blue side each and every time?
I loved him.
He was just a player.
I loved
what
him.
What a player.
1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool. Do you run a wholesale or manufacturing company? Want to know about the best software and latest trends for your business? Then the Apps for Wholesalers Conference and Technology Showcase is for you. Held in Parramatta on Thursday, May 23, it's a year's learning in one day. Featuring a showcase of the best technology and a selection of speakers on a range of topics, from how to select the right software to marketing and succession planning. Visit appsforwholesalers.com for details. That's apps, the number 4, wholesalers.com. Use the promo code RADIO for your free ticket and save $55.
Mum, we have a very precious gift card right now at Bingley.
If I'm precious.
I thought of it and I'm precious.
Yep.
Yes, Lano, you are.
Spend $650 or more on a washer or dryer at Bingley and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $250.
That is precious. Send again.
A bonus gift card worth up to $250 when you buy a washer or dryer at Bingley.
Wow.
It was all my idea.
Don't be precious.
Conditions apply.
Life Less Ordinary, Mr. Seymour. Life Less Ordinary, Dash Duck went to the lead, and Life Less Ordinary races clear. Wins the Hollandale 2.5 lengths to Mr. Seymour, and Hallelujah Boy.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And that was Life Less Ordinary for Chris Waller winning the Hollandale Stakes yesterday. Of course, Chris Waller and owner Richard Pegum also won the Wagga Wagga Gold Cup on Friday with Abdon. So a big couple of days for owner and trainer.
Life Less Ordinary won the Wagga Wagga
last year.
Cup
yeah.
last year.
Yeah, and he's going on in his... in terrific form, and he'll be hard to beat through the staying races in Brisbane. Yesterday, Jimmy, we mentioned earlier, lovely ride by Jean Van Overmeer on
yes.
a really handy horse that Team Hawks have got in tremendous form. His name is Renewal. Renewal hadn't had much luck in his three previous starts, but Jean Van Overmeer made all the luck and the running on Renewal yesterday. He's been good enough to join us. Jean, good morning, and really, once you got that horse across into that position, one off the fence in fifth place, with Star of the Seas behind you, you really could control the race.
Yeah, exactly. He really, really pinned the gate to me yesterday, and he was just happy to slide forward. I mean, when we went out there, the plan was to actually ride him a bit quiet. But the way he came out the gate, I thought there was no point in going back, and I just let him roll and put himself in a nice position, one off the fence, and he really brought his A game, and he did the rest.
That's really interesting, because those decisions in sport are what separates the wheat from the chaff, isn't
it?
Yeah, exactly. So you go to plan B at that point. Talk us through the thought process that you're using at that time, John.
Well, I thought when I came out the gate so good, I just had a look to my inside to see what was going to go forward and what was going to go back. And there wasn't really, obviously there was the first sort of four horses that went forward. And then sort of there was a bunch of runners that was at the rear of the field. And I just didn't think that there was a chance of me getting in a position if I did go back. So I just let them slide forward. I saw there was going to be a space open up for me. More forward in the field, so that's why I let him slide forward. And like you say, you go to if plan A doesn't work out, you go to plan B, and that's when the race really panned out for me. He travelled beautifully,
yeah.
And I was a bit worried when he got exposed so early in the straight, but there's nothing else taking me into the race. But he's such a genuine honest horse. He really really let down and ran home really nice.
Yeah, he safely held Star of the Seas. Terrific win. Significant win for you too, Sean, because the last 4 months has been a bit of a nightmare for you, and it all started when, of all things, you broke your wrist leading a horse around in the stable one day at Warwick Farm. Can you take us back to that point in time? How did it happen, Sean?
Yeah, it was actually a bit annoying because I was just building up momentum and getting good support from good trainers, and I was actually just washing a horse in the hose bay one morning, and I was leading it to the walker to put it on the walker to dry off after I washed it. And a motorbike turned up at the stables, and the horse just sort of shied, and it's just one of those strange things where he just shied and ripped the lead rope out of my hand and just bent it the wrong way, I suppose, and it actually wasn't my wrist; it was my hand. So
okay.
I had an operation on my hand. Had a few screws put into my fingers and broke a few bones in my hand as well.
Jeez. How did you manage to maintain your fitness during the course of your time off? Because that would have an impact on that, I would imagine.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm really into my fitness, so that definitely didn't stop me from going for a nice run and going to the gym on the treadmill. And so, but I maintained my fitness, so I didn't let that go. The weight shot up a bit, but as expected, it's probably a good time to get give the body a rest as well while you're out injured.
Well, Sean, it was terrific to see you back in such brilliant form yesterday. I think it was virtually right of the day on renewal, and I really hope this win can kickstart a terrific back end of the season for you. Thanks for joining us this morning, Sean.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, mate.
Yeah, great to have him on the program, and great to see him back because he was in really good form, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was when he
riding well. 1353 53 is the open line number. We've got some listeners who are over at the Kentucky Derby.
There you go.
We will, of course, hear that a little bit later on in the program live. Brett Mullins v Newcastle Knights, 1994. Four tries. Freak. That's from Steve. Yeah, absolutely outstanding.
Speaking of Steve, he's on the line. Steve, g'day.
How are you going, fellas?
How are you? What do you got for us, Steve?
I was thinking about Tom Brady in Super Bowl 51.
Mm. Which one was that? Which one was that, Steve? Because he's had a few.
They trailed 28-3 in the third quarter.
Atlanta Falcons.
Yeah, he put the pats on his back, mate, and carried him home.
He orchestrated the most extraordinary Super Bowl comeback, didn't he?
Yeah, I don't think anyone had ever gone overturned more than 10 points in a Super Bowl, and you know, they were down by 25.
That's right.
To win it in overtime, so it was pretty special, and especially in his career, you know.
It enforced the legend, ensured the legend. It was incredible. Good on you, Steve. That's a good nomination, too. So they are coming
there, James.
Coming in thick and fast, aren't they, these ones? And look, this is for Paramount. Love how you two have live production meetings to work out the day's talk topics. Spontaneous madness with a hearty dose of Jimmy's tomfoolery, Paramat.
I think Paramat's nailed us.
Clearly a close listener to the program. Time to say good morning for the first time to Tanya, with obviously busy day today with what's happening out at Bankwest Stadium. But you have the scratchings around the country.
Do you know,
as well.
Ray and I, our very first date was to St George and Parramatta.
Wow.
Us too, yeah.
Okay, who won?
And Parramatta won that day. Nice. Let's hope history repeats itself.
And gee, I took it well, didn't I?
Well, you have to. When you're in the courting stage.
That's
you're
right.
In the courting stage.
Oh, so happy for
you. Yeah, it's anything. If someone's going to walk away disappointed today, and I hope it's my husband.
That's okay.
Is that all right?
That's okay.
All right. In the meantime, racing in New South Wales today is at Dubbo and then Sapphire Coast, Sunshine Coast in Queensland, and we have Port Augusta in South Australia. Starting with Dubbo, the weather is fine. The track is soft 6. The rail is true. And there are 22 scratchings. Race 1, take out 11, Missile Rain, number 11. Race 2, number 14, Thorn Lass, number 14. Race 3, number 2, Billow Road, and 8, Wanwara Bay, 2 and 8. Out of race 4, number 15, Water Union, 16, Tonosama, 17, Rufio, and 18, Madam Ruby. The emergencies, 15, 16, 17, and 18. Race 5, number 7, Tomatin, 15, Lit Up, 17, More Ransom, and 18, Peace Time, 7, 15, 17, 18. Race 6, Take Out, 15, Decades, number 15. Race 7, number 1, Far Star, 9, Valor Hess, 11, Alaru, and 14, Slickster, 1, 9, 11, and 14. Race 8, number 15, Grassmere Flyer, Take Out, 15 from Race 8. And Race 9, number 9, Hellstar, 13, Wacky Doo, 15, Supreme Goddess, and 16, Grassmere Flyer. 9, 13, 15, and 16 from Race 9 at Dubbo. Sapphire Coast, the weather is fine. The track are good 4, the rail is true, and there are 13 scratchings. The first race is clear. Start at Race 2, take out 9, She Gives a Damn, number 9. Race 3, also number 9, Dreams of Platinum, number 9. Out of Race 4, number 5, Miss Blumenthal, and 10, All About Belle, 5 and 10. Race 5, number 1, Sugar Pine, 2, The Senator, 3, Tococo, and 13, Sekarona. 1, 2, 3, and 13 from Race 5. Race 6, number 5, Teresa Marie, and 11, High Citadel, 5 and 11. And Race 7, Take Out 2, Soviet, 9, Lord Boulevard, and 11, Running Broke, 2, 9, 11 from Race 7 at the Sapphire Coast. And up to the Sunshine Coast, the weather is fine. The track, a heavy 8. The rail is out 6 metres the entire course. Penetrometer 7.1 and 37 scratchings. So we'll do numbers only. Race 1, Take Out numbers 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 and 9. 2, 3, 4, 7, 8 and 9 to race 2, numbers 1, 7, 9, 10, 11 and 12. 1, 7, 9, 10, 11 and 12. Out of race 3, number 3, number 3 from the third. Out of race 4, 1 and 6, 1 and 6 from race 4. From race 5, numbers 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 13 and 15. 3, 4, 5, 6, 10, 12, 13 and 15. Race 6, number 1, 2, 3 and 4. 1, 2, 3 and 4 from the 6th race. Race 7, take out 1, 7 and 8. 1, 7 and 8. And race 8, take out numbers 2, 3, 7, 8, 10, 12 and 14. 2, 3, 7, 8. 10, 12 and 14 from race 8 at the Sunshine Coast.
Thanks, Tan. A tough meeting at Dubbo today. I think in race 6, number 3, Concours is one of the better bets of the day. Down to race 9, number 1, Augusta in April. Each way about $8, James. Really okay. Keen on her. Two chances at Sapphire Coast today. They're pretty sure, but they should win. Race 1, number 9, Freaky Freckles. Into race 6, number 6, Gypsy Miss. There was a Gypsy Miss when I was a kid growing up, trained by Harry Clark. She was a great mudlark. This is obviously a different one, but it'll be hard to beat. So race 1, number 9, Freaky Freckles. Into race 6, number 6, Gypsy Miss at the Sapphire Coast.
1353 is the open line number. Given the new audience, we better give the SMS number as well. 0419 767 272. And of course, you can get us on the tweets as well at Big Sports WEND. Just quickly before we go to the news, there's one here. Happy Gilmore's putt to beat Shooter McGavin. That's from Fitz. Thank you, Fitzy. We do appreciate that.
Great movie.
We'll go to the news. After the news, we'll have a chat with Peter Peters, Robbie Dolan, and of course, we'll have the Kentucky Derby live from Kentucky.
I'm Sean Bindley. The first law passed after the upcoming federal election would lock in extra tax cuts proposed by the coalition if Scott Morrison wins the poll. The Prime Minister has laid out his legislative priorities for Australia's next parliament, with shoring up promised tax relief topping the list. Security measures also rank highly in the Liberal National Team's plans, with the coalition eager to pass a law that would delay people who've been fighting abroad with terrorist links from returning to Australia. And Bill Shorten is expected to put the finishing touches on Labor's health policy suite, with a $500 million commitment for emergency department upgrades and more doctors and nurses to staff them. Labor says its promises to Australians on healthcare add up to $8 billion more than what the Morrison government has on offer. Palm Island Mayor Alf Lacey says the state government needs to investigate the possibility of a new reservoir for the island off Townsville. An emergency alert was issued yesterday warning residents not to drink the water or cook with it until further notice after it became discoloured. Mr Lacey says the island's ageing pipes are to blame and residents deserve better.
I'll be putting the issue in front of the minister. If we don't need a new reservoir, then certainly a second backup reservoir in the town. The main thing is getting the system back online again and ensuring that we have safe and quality drinking water like the rest of the state. You wouldn't think that places like our place could be, in this day and age, subject to this type of problem.
A van driver has been charged after two pedestrians were struck as they crossed the street in Sydney's west. A 62-year-old woman and her 69-year-old husband were injured when they were struck by the vehicle as they crossed Vine Street in Fairfield at about 7 o'clock last night. The woman suffered significant leg injuries, while her husband had minor injuries and was treated for shock. The 40-year-old driver of the van was arrested at the scene and later charged with three driving offences, including dangerous driving. France's yellow vest anti-government demonstrations have recorded their lowest turnout yet, days after a wider May Day rally was marked by violent clashes in Paris. The downturn in demonstrator numbers on the 25th straight weekend of yellow vest protests could be a relief to President Emmanuel Macron, who last week made a series of policy proposals to address the issues raised. About 18,900 protesters took part in the latest marches nationally, compared with 23,600 a week earlier. And the US economy added 263,000 jobs in April, beating expectations. Meanwhile, the unemployment rate fell to its lowest level since 1969. The figures indicate the US economy remains on a strong track, although economists warn the strong numbers are unlikely to continue all year. In Washington, Air News' Harry Horton reports.
The US labour market continues to go from strength to strength. The 263,000 new jobs in April firmly beat analysts' expectations of 190,000. Unemployment dropped to 3.6%, the lowest in 49 years. However, the fall was mainly due to a large number of people leaving the labour force in April. Wage data showed the average earnings grew at an annual rate of 3.2%, slightly lower than expected. The retail industry continues to suffer heavy losses, shedding 30,000 jobs in 2019 alone. Harry Horton, Washington.
This is Air News. Firstly to AFL, and Brisbane might be on course for their first finals appearance since 2009. But coach Chris Fagan isn't allowing his side to think about September action just yet. The Lions are now 5-2 after last night's 14-9-103 to 12-9-81 victory over Sydney, their first win over the Swans since that 2009 season. But in a season that has thrown up plenty of surprises, the Lions included, Fagan says his team can't afford the luxury of looking past their next game against the Western Bulldogs at Ballarat. Supercars champion Scott McLaughlin is annoyed constant speculation over his all-conquering Ford Mustang is taking away from the efforts of his team. McLaughlin and DJR team Penske shrugged off forced changes to the Mustang's aerodynamic package to dominate the Perth Supernight last night. In-season testing following last month's Phillip Island round revealed the Mustang held a slight advantage over its Holden and Nissan rivals, breaching parity regulations. Supercars announced changes would have to be made to the cars before the Perth event, casting doubt on what effect it would have on the car's performance. In response, McLaughlin snared both pole positions, finished second behind teammate Fabian Coulthard in a 1-2 finish on Friday, and then won yesterday's 83-lap race in another dominant round for the Gold Coast-based outfit. Australian Independent Radio News.
On Sky Sports Radio, the traffic report.
Park and Druid Streets will be closed to general traffic between Elizabeth Street and York Street this weekend for light rail work. Motorists are advised to plan ahead. Visit livetraffic.com for more information. Looking south to Appin, Appin Road is currently closed near Bryan Road. That's in both directions. We've got diversions for northbound traffic in place, but southbounders have nowhere to go. You're just being turned around. The run to Mascot Airport on the M5 and Southern Cross Drive is hassle-free, but it gets heavy once you hit Mar Street approaching the International Terminal. The speed limit in school zones is 40 kilometres per hour between 8 and 9.30am and 2.30 and 4pm. So keep our kids safe. Stick to the 40 kilometre per hour school zone speed limit and slow down. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe,
first time, every time,
is right here, live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Mum, what am I? I'm about the size of a credit card. I can turn into a Dyson hairdryer or the latest smartwatch. I can turn into a Sunbeam toaster or a Breville coffee machine. I'm stainless steel. I'm gleaming white. I'm fluoro pink. I'm all these things and much, much more. Mum, do you know what I am?
Lano, you're an idiot.
No, Mum. I'm a special Mother's Day gift card at Bingley.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea when you've got no idea what to get. Celebrate Mum with a gift card at Bingley.
Your next bet is as easy as 123 or 213 or 132 or 231. Oh, the Tab's made 123 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 123 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to S-Tab and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
On the Big Sports Breakfast, Interstate Weather.
And we'll start with Sydney, 20 degrees today, chance of a shower or two. Similarly in Melbourne, a light shower or two, top of 17 degrees. Up in Brisbane, beautiful day, sunny 25 degrees. Over in Perth to our lone Perth listener, James, evening shower or two there, 24 degrees. Adelaide, partly cloudy and 19. Down in Hobart, 15 degrees, shower or two, clearing. Canberra, partly cloudy and 18 degrees in the nation's capital. And up at Darwin, as it always is, mostly sunny, 34.
For Latrell Mitchell, who's away down the sideline, running towards him by, running straight past him, still going in a league of his own.
Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. Zorba up very shortly. Robbie Darlin will have a chat to as well. Jared Daffy from tab.com.au. Your calls on 1353 53, and of course we're going to go live to the Kentucky Derby. Our talk topic for today, we've been through our talk subjects, and that is Israel Folau, quite obviously is a big subject today. There's a lot of people wanting to have their say on that. You're more than happy to do so. I'm not going to speak for you. I'm not here to defend him. I do defend his right to religious freedom and expression, freedom of expression. There was a SMS earlier that suggested that, look, what Rugby Australia are saying is you are free to express your political views, but you can't do them using the platforms that we provide, and we will no longer be your employer. Mm. And it would seem that there are a number of people in the dressing room of both the Waratahs and the Wallabies that feel very much the same way.
Yep. And essentially, it seems whatever the outcome of this case is, that Israel Folau probably has played his last game of rugby in Australia.
And the big sticking point is, how much now do Rugby Australia pay Israel Folau from a payout point of view? So that's going to be
And the hearing continues today, but we're unlikely to get any decision made for a few days post day two of the hearing today.
That's exactly right. The brilliant performance of Latrell Mitchell last night at the SCG has provided our talk topic today, and that is brilliant individual performances. Mm. There's a lot that have been coming through. There's a mention of Jim Lakers, 19 wickets in a test match. Morning boys, talk topic. Timmy Cahill's 2 goals from the bench in the 2006 World Cup win against Japan. Mm. From Sporty Gav at Newcastle, yes.
I'm about to go to Zorba. I reckon he may make mention of Bozo Fulton's performance in the 1973 Grand Final. Manly v Cronulla, scored 2 tries. He was absolutely unbelievable, Bozo.
He was the difference. He was incredible. That's a good way to intro him. Why don't we go to him? His thoughts on league. We love them every Sunday morning. Zorb is on the line. G'day, Zorb.
Morning, Jimmy. Morning, Ray.
Morning, Pete.
Fabulous week of rugby league so far. Boy, haven't we seen some football.
Well, all right. Well, just before we get into that, our talk topic today is Zorb. Brilliant individual performance on the back of Latrell last night. Ray made mention of the 73 Grand Final. Bob Fulton, 2 tries. What's the best individual performance you've seen in your time in the game?
Oh, wow. Geez, so many over the years. I'd go back to a game where I was calling it. It was at Old Trafford in second Test match 1990. Australia were beaten in the first Test match at Wembley, and Bob Fulton, the Australian coach, brought Cliff Lyons in, and Cliff delivered a masterclass to produce a try for Mal Meninga late in the game to win it. And for a player that was ridiculed, the coach was told he was crazy for picking him, and the old master came through and delivered. It was a special, dominating display by Cliffy Lyons.
He's great. Hey, Zorb, we'll get to Manly shortly, but Penrith, geez, they're in a massive hole now, aren't they?
Yeah, I want to put my hand up. A week ago, I tipped the Panthers to climb out of the deep hole they're in, but obviously I was wrong. There's something terribly wrong at the foot of the mountains. Yesterday, 30-12 loss to Canberra in Wagga leaves Ivan Cleary's side 15th after 8 rounds and a 2-from-8 start in his return. The entire side is way out of form, starting with his origin halves, Son Nathan and veteran James Maloney. I don't think on form that Brad Fittler could pick them. Mm. They're not playing anywhere near to their capabilities. And, they've lost their last 4 in a row. Their last win was that miracle 9-8 win over the Tigers where Cleary kicked a goal from the sideline, conversion, and then a field goal to win it. They were never in that game against the Tigers. That was a miracle win. But that's their last win. I don't know where the next one's going to come from. And injuries to Isaiah Yeo last night and Kickow in the loss to Canberra. And if they're serious, which they could be, that'll further complicate things for Cleary, and maybe Gus has got out at the right time.
He's always had pretty good timing. You're exactly right, Zorb, about that. And to be honest, I could take Nathan Cleary into an Origin series and partner him with, with Luke Keary. But from a Penrith point of view, the only thing they have going in their favour, and Ray and I were talking about it earlier, is look at Newcastle last week. They were 16th. They won a game. They went to 11th.
You leapfrog a few.
There's so many teams on 4 points. You could get out of it quickly.
Yeah, and I think what you're saying is that probably this year, the minimum number of points will get you into the top eight. Normally, it's around, what do we say, 28?
Yes.
Normally gets you in. It might be 26 this year.
Yeah.
But then it might come down to for and against. It's a tight race at the bottom, but at the top, it's a two-horse race. The Roosters and South, they look far and away too good for the rest already. The Storm are awful against the Sharks, and it's not often you see Craig Bellamy fuming that much. We see him fuming, but when he fronts the cameras after the game, rarely does he ridicule his players, but he gave them a spray after that game. The liking I haven't seen for a fair while from Craig Bellamy. They were completely outplayed by a young Sharks side.
Yes.
Full marks to the Sharks and to their rookie coach. I thought that, he did really well, John Morris, in that game, and I think that'll do him a lot of good. And I thought young Flanagan was very good for the Sharks, and it may be a blessing in disguise for him that he has a coach that's not his dad, because I maintain that is across the bear. Matter of fact, I was talking about it to a few players after last night's game, and no player that I spoke to would like to be at any stage of their career coached by their dad at a professional level.
Especially in that halves position where it's so crucial.
Yeah.
And that's one of the other problems that Penrith are facing at the moment.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. Back to Thursday night, Sorb, if I can go back to the Rabbitohs-Broncos game. I know massive build-up with that Bennett v. Seibold clash, the two coaches, and the bounce of the ball went the Rabbitohs' way in the first half with those three tries, but they were clinical, weren't they?
Yeah, you make your own luck, though.
Mm, yeah. Exactly.
You know what? He's a marvellous player. And I think right now he's got to be in the New South Wales side.
Cody Walker.
Walker. I mean, you know, the way he's playing, he's just a breath of fresh air. He's unpredictable. He's good in every department. And if we're going to pick sides on form, then he's got to be in there somewhere. And Bennett is allowing him to express himself. And that's the thing I like. I just thought he was... he always hasn't been my cup of tea, Wayne Bennett, but I love the way he handled it last week. He was smiling. He was a professional. He delivered a knockout blow. He's got his side playing wonderfully well. Those young forwards... I don't know why, and this is the problem that Brisbane have got. People were playing them up. I was amazed that some judges prior to the game gave the Broncos a chance. Based on what? Their form's been awful. They beat a badly injury-riddled Sharks the week before. And they were far from impressive in that game. 2 from 8 is a horrible start. And Coach Seibold's got to bite the bullet on 300-gamer and Captain Darius Boyd. Darius has run out of petrol.
Yeah.
He's not providing any thrust at the back, and he's sorely out of form. He's got to go from the fullback position. They're not running the ball back well. He's looking to pass it. Immediately he gets it. He's struggling to make metres, and his defence isn't all that good.
I'm 100% with you, Zorb. Luttrell, there's all sorts of speculation. Yeah, his brilliant play is often overshadowed, or certainly has been this week, about speculation about that he were certainly going to a new manager, that there is turmoil in his life off the field, and that he potentially is going to a new club. And he brings out performances like last night, which is just incredible. You have any ideas about what you think Luttrell's future might hold?
I'm hearing a lot in the background. And there's a lot of people, including his family, that want him to play with South, which has got a wonderful record in producing and keeping and allowing Indigenous players to express themselves. But look, right now, he's where he should be. He's in the top team in the Premiership, the top team in the world. He's got one of the great coaches in the world. He's got a backup there, second to none. I don't think he'll be going anywhere. I think that he can become $1 million player. I think it's rubbish to suggest that a centre three-quarter who plays like him, or a 5'8 who plays like him, or a winger who plays like him, or a fullback if you need him to play like him, is a rarity in our game. Mm. And versatility, I think, will get him that $1 million a season. It's rubbish to suggest that he can't do it and can't get there from a centre position. Three tries, two try assists, two try-saving tackles, and seven goals. Is that not enough?
Yeah, he's so influential.
For a player to produce, he probably couldn't do that from fullback. So why not play him where he can do that? I think that's sheer rubbish that you can only pay a fullback or a halfback $1 million in our game. The game is changing year to year, and it'll continue to change. And Latrell Mitchell, with the best coach in the world just about and the best boss in the world of a rugby league side in Nick Politis, he won't be going anywhere.
So the question is, does Latrell want to play fullback because he wants to play fullback, or does Latrell want to play fullback because he wants to get paid like a fullback? And if it's the latter, then I totally agree with you. Pay him like a fullback, but play him at centre, because he dominated that
game
last time. If he doesn't play, the Roosters might struggle to win. So
no, look, he is such a wonderful player. And it wasn't hard to pick when he first came up as a teenager. And he was making mistakes because young players make mistakes.
Yep.
But I think the Origin series will be good for him, because I think he'll be a star there. And he will take over the platform that Greg Inglis had for Queensland as being the elite player probably in Origin. And as I said, the Roosters are too well run, and that coach is too smart to lose a player that they've brought through like Latrell Mitchell.
Hey, Zorb, just as an aside, what's your take on what happened at the Bulldogs yesterday, particularly with a club legend like Andrew Farrer amongst four people who are effectively given their marching orders?
Well, I was stunned. I was actually in the chairman's lounge at Brookvale yesterday, having the rare pleasure of inviting Ken Arthurson to the platform and doing an interview with him. And the Bulldogs officials were in there, and you could tell they were sheepish. And Manly were cock-a-hoop that prior to the game, four staff members had been shown the door. I thought his performance last night in getting them up, I mean, they were wounded. I was in the dressing room after the game, and they're really on top of things. And but they're so wounded, it's not funny. But they've won five from their last six. I give up trying to work it out. I'm just going to go along for the ride and enjoy it.
Yeah, Adam Fanua Blake, he's got to have scans from what I understand.
He didn't look good. He battled on. He wasn't very happy. Wasn't a very happy chappy after the game. And there's a worry too about the young 5'8" has done well. Lachlan Croker.
Yes.
He was having a check on his hammies. They pulled him out of the game when he felt the twinge, but he felt a ping, and that's not always a good sign with hammies. Boys, I'm putting my hand up with Andrew Johns in suggesting there's too much brotherly love in our game. I'm sick and tired of seeing smiling faces and the brotherly group hugs after you've been beaten 7-1. It simply isn't a good look. I mean, how can you be laughing and shaking hands with the opposition and patting them on the back when they're just giving you a mother of a hiding? I mean, shake hands with the opposition, be a sport, and then get off the field. And, you know, it should be how players deal with a loss. Joey didn't like losing. He was one of the worst losers I've ever seen. But that helped make him a champion.
Yeah, that need to win. Jim, in your day, was it starting to come in at the back end of your career?
No.
No, you used to shake hands, you walk off.
Shake hands, walk off. I agree with you, Zorba. And what you've got to understand is, okay, you should be really hurting from a loss. If you're not, that's a separate issue. But the fans pay their good money. They get more upset with the loss than the players on the field. That's not right.
No, it's not right. And I think it's the influx and the second and third generation of South Sea Islanders coming in. I mean, they are a wonderful group of people, and they've done wonderful things in our game. But one of the things that they've brought in is that, hey, this is just, you know, like going to church. It's like it's part of their persona, and there's that many of them playing now that it's infiltrating. I don't like how the Warriors, who incidentally I think are a basket case, and I want to talk about the signing of Nick Arima this week, but you know, this love-in that they have and the deep breaths after they score a try or have a try scored against them, I mean, it's sheer bullshit. It doesn't do anything for them. They look stupid. And whoever invented that there or brought it in, you know, should be shown the door. And whoever signed Cody Nikorima, what about that this week?
Mm.
They had the best halfback just about that New Zealand, behind Stacey Jones, I would imagine, that they've produced in Sean Johnson. He was the number one figure in their game. He was rugby league in New Zealand.
Yes.
They tell him that he's not going to earn the big bucks there, so he goes. They let his backup go. They introduce two kids, and the kids don't go all that well. And then they go and chase after Cody Nikorima. The CEO, who incidentally you would know probably pretty well, Ray, in as much as he was a secretary of a race club.
Cameron George.
Yep.
Cameron George, yeah. Well, he looks like he's been in charge of a race club because he's got plenty of draft horses here. And applauded his recruitment manager, Peter O'Sullivan, this week for the signing of Nikorima. Nikorima went from $250,000 a year to $500,000 a year on a lengthy contract. Of course he was going to go.
Mm.
All of the Warriors on the field and off the field are signed to the one manager. It's a recipe for disaster, which the Warriors fill most of the time. But having said that, I'm going to tip them today.
Oh, that do me.
Well, I was originally going to tip Newcastle, and then I did my research, which I always do.
Yes.
Newcastle haven't won in Auckland since 2012. They've got rusty underpants every time they go there. How can you tip them?
All right, what about
out of the last eight, the Warriors have won. I'm going with them today, and Parra have won seven out of the last eight against St. George Illawarra, which stuns me. I didn't reckon with some of the bad times they've had.
Yes.
St. George Illawarra find it hard to beat them, so I'm going for them today.
Okay.
All up, but I originally was going to go the other way.
So you're line and line at the line?
Line and line.
Okay. -4.5, the Warriors. They're at $2. Into -1.5, the Eels. They're at $1.90. And if you want your side to go well, make sure Azor gives us a razz the week before and then he'll tip them. So that's your best ever, Saul.
I'm an idiot.
Love it, Saul.
Fantastic, mate. Well, we'll speak to you next week.
Okay, boys.
Peter Peters with his thoughts on the game of rugby league.
Yeah, outstanding. What are your two tips this afternoon, Jim?
I agree with him. I think the Warriors will win over there, and I have gone with the Parramatta Eels today. I think that's going to be a fabulous game at 4 o'clock. Really, really tight.
You're calling that one?
Rival radio network.
Just before we go to break, as an aside, when you watched the Roosters game last night, what was it? SCG pitch is a concern. It looks like a patchwork quilt, doesn't it?
It looks terrible, doesn't it? They're going to have a lot of traffic on it.
And that's the problem. There's so much more football to be played this season. Can the old girl hold up?
I am such a fan of Magic Round, and I'm a real believer in that if you don't try something, you'll never know.
On that point, I agree. And I just wonder whether there should be at least a game in Sydney on Friday and Sunday next week. Every game's up in Brisbane. There's nothing for local league fans to go to. I just wonder. I admit your point about trying things is excellent. You've got to try things, see if it works.
If you're in for a penny, you're in for a pound, Ray. You can't be half pregnant. So
I know what you're saying.
They've gone all in on this. My greatest concern is, how does Suncorp Stadium hold up after eight games?
Look at the rain up in the Gold Coast there yesterday during the race. What happens if it's pours rain next week?
13:53:53, that is the open line number. Get us on the SMS as well. 0419-767-272. We'll take a break now. After the break, we'll have a chat with Robbie Dolan.
Wideline Windows and Doors can help make your next build or home reno a success. Drop into any showroom and check out their extensive range of quality aluminium and timber designs, all backed by a 7-year guarantee. Any size, any shape, any space. Wideline's experts will help create the perfect frame for your view. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at Wideline Windows and Doors. Showrooms open at Port Macquarie, Broadmeadow, Tuggerah, Rosebery and Parramatta. And coming soon to Liverpool.
Do you run a wholesale or manufacturing company? Want to know about the best software and latest trends for your business? Then the Apps for Wholesalers Conference and Technology Showcase is for you. Held in Parramatta on Thursday, May 23, it's a year's learning in one day. Featuring a showcase of the best technology and a selection of speakers on a range of topics, from how to select the right software to marketing and succession planning. Visit appsforwholesalers.com for details. That's apps, the number four, wholesalers.com. Use the promo code RADIO for your free ticket and save $55.
Mum, what am I? I'm about the size of a credit card. I can turn into a Dyson hairdryer or the latest smartwatch. I can turn into a Sunbeam toaster or a Breville coffee machine. I'm stainless steel. I'm gleaming white. I'm fluoro pink. I'm all these things and much, much more. Mum, do you know what I am?
No, you're an idiot.
No, Mum. I'm a special Mother's Day gift card at Bingley.
That's a good idea.
It's a great idea when you've got no idea what to get. Celebrate Mum with a gift card at Bingley.
Your next bet is as easy as 123 or 213 or 132 or 231. Oh, the Tab's made 123 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 123 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Sitting motionless, three in front on Beauty Generation. What a remarkable season it's been. Another incredible racing story. A second champion's mile and a coveted crown in glory. Beauty Generation, a wonderful endeavour to win eight in a row, nine in total.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And that was, of course, Beauty Generation last Sunday, and
yes,
quite rightly got a lot of accolades. What about Zach Purton? His record in Hong Kong is phenomenal now. He's sort of been out of sight, out of mind for 10 years in terms of Australian racing, but he is now the top three jockeys in the world. Surely he's close to Hall of Fame status.
What was Beauty Generation's name in Australia?
Montaigne, I think was how it's pronounced.
Yeah, yeah. We backed it one day with the Punners Club, Montaigne, and we've sort of forgotten about
promising
it. Until one of the people in the Punners Club said, you know, our Montaigne is now a superstar over there in Hong Kong. But you're quite right about Zach Purton, absolute star. And on, based on that, a big good morning to Ron from Moree.
Who's the
president of the Zach Purton fan club.
His biggest fan. Well, yesterday this man would have got plenty of fans because he rode brilliantly, winning on Brook Magic and the last on Future, almost right of the day stuff on Future. Robbie Dolan's been good enough to join us. He's Sydney's leading apprentice this season with 3 months to go. Robbie, good morning. Congratulations on the double yesterday. Can I take you to Future and great ride and a horse who really looks like you appreciate having the blinkers on yesterday?
Yeah, good morning, gentlemen, firstly. And yeah, look, he's only a small little horse. Sometimes he can be pretty lazy. The last day at the provincial championships final, surely showed that the first 600 metres of the race, it's like he didn't want to be a part of it. But his last 600 was very impressive, and then he got beaten a length. Yesterday, Kim put the blinkers on, and it just made a big difference, you know, in his racing pattern. He was able to be ridden a little bit closer to the speed, cruised into it really nice and let down quite strong.
Did he surprise you a little, Robbie?
I actually, you know what, the stewards called me in and asked me where I was supposed to be riding the horse in the race. And I said, well, I didn't expect to be that close to the speed. I thought I would be, you know, two or three pairs back on the fence and then slowly try and, you know, worked my way into it from the 600 or 700. But he just jumped so well and you know, travelled in my hands the whole race. So I was pretty confident now, a long way out, that if I had a bit of clear running, that he'd show that turn of foot that, you know, he's well known for before.
Mm. And I guess you were surprised with Brook Magic as well, Robbie, because you'd ridden the mare in some trials. She hadn't shown her usual speed, and she probably wasn't. She didn't settle where you thought she'd settle yesterday either.
Yeah. She's one now. She's, our first up form is very impressive. And that was always in the back of my mind. You know, maybe she could just pull it out of the bag right there. And she could be saving herself a little bit at the trials. I rode her in two trials, one at Warwick Farm and one at Canterbury. And even after the one at Canterbury, I came back and I said, maybe she just needs a set of blinkers. She was just a little bit lazy and you know, just not really fully there, you know. But yesterday, even just walking down the tunnel out towards the racetrack, she was on her toes. She seemed a lot, you know, she seemed very alert to what was going on. And I had a part owner in her that was strapping me, and he was filling me full of confidence, saying how far she was going to win by. And, you know, thankfully, they just ran along in front, and she was able to just chase them down.
It just seems so helter-skelter, those 1,000-metre events. It's just all over. Do you have to have a different mindset when you go into a race like that? Because it's over in the blinking of an eye, Robbie.
Yeah, look, you can make as many plans as you like going into them types of races. But, you know, 9 times out of 10, a horse that you don't expect to lead or go forward. Something else can jump quicker than expected. And, you know, you've got to have a plan B and a plan C and just, you know, kind of work it out. And ride your horse is the most important thing, you know. You got to ride your horse and nobody else's horse.
Exactly, yeah. Robbie, that double yesterday takes you to 31 city wins for the season. You've got a 10-win lead over Sam Weatherly in the Apprentices' Premiership title. 3 months to go. Is that a goal for the season?
Yeah, that was a goal for the season. When I had started to get a couple of winners in town, a couple of the jocks said to me, "Oh, you'd nearly be in contention, you know, with the apprentice title at the end of the season." Look, I'm just trying to improve myself all the time. I know that competition is very, very tough in Sydney. Like, Sam is you know, he's a Group 1 winning jockey, and a lot of people forget that he's a very, very class jockey. And I'm sure he'll get more opportunities come towards the end of the season. It's a little bit quiet for him at the moment. But look, I'm just kind of relishing the opportunities that I'm getting and trying my best to improve all the time. Look, we'll see what happens. It's still a long way to go.
Well, just on... can you believe it's late autumn? I know there's maybe the last couple of days it's got a little bit cooler, but can you believe it's late autumn in Australia? It's not bad weather, eh, Rob?
No, it's very good. It's very good now. I'm loving the weather over here. And even like back in Ireland this time of the year, it's a little bit cooler now than it is here.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, you're riding in very hot form at the moment, Robbie. Hope it continues the rest of the season and beyond. Thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
No problem, guys. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Robbie.
There he is, Robbie Dolan. A couple of winners to him yesterday at Royal Randwick. And as Ray mentioned, he does lead the Apprentices' Premiership for 2018-19.
10 wins at the moment, 3 months to go.
1353-53 is the open line number. We're just about to go to callers now. That is also the number you need to call if you'd like to be a part of the Event Cinemas quiz. The score update, Ray?
9-8, James Smith in front.
It is 9-8. It's a ding-dong battle, I've got to say. So call now, and just to... Would you like to be player one or player two?
It doesn't worry me anymore. You're deciding anyway.
Look at you clasping. Your palms are sweaty now. They are too, I tell you what. You can be player two today.
Okay, thank you.
Right, there you go.
You're in a generous mood today.
Big day out there with the Dragons and the Eels. 1353-53 is that number. Let's go to callers before we get to the quiz. Chris is on the line. G'day, Chris.
Hello, mate. How are you?
Really well. What do you got for us, Chris?
Well, I thought Jessica Watson's round the world trip in 2009-2010 was a pretty exciting thing for one person, and not really a sport, but it was a pretty good effort.
Yeah.
It's an amazing effort.
She was only 16, wasn't she, by memory?
Yeah.
16.
Extraordinary, isn't it? And round the world on her own.
I had the great privilege of interviewing her in front of about 800 people at an event.
How long
and
ago was that, mate?
This was 2, maybe 3 years ago. Mm-hmm. And... so you do your research about it. You could have heard a pin drop for 40 minutes the way she spoke. She's a tiny little thing.
Yeah.
And she was amazing the way she told her story. The things that she had to conquer and that she encountered on that trip were just... You know the first time she took the boat out as a solo sailor? She ran into a ship. The first time she took it out, she ran into something. So, and then she said, "Yeah, well, I'm going to go around the world now."
What was her biggest challenge? Was it a battle with a mind rather than the elements?
Oh, I think the elements battled the mind. You know, she had to do all of that, Ray.
Extraordinary.
Make repairs on the run.
She'd be a good legend.
Good point.
Mm.
I love it how we have another production meeting on here.
Well, Chris has given us the inspiration. Is Chris on your little list there?
Yeah,
good
he
one,
is.
Chris.
Yeah, Jessica Watson. No, that's a great one. Yeah. All right, thanks. Let's go to callers there before we get to our quiz. Pete's on the line. G'day, Peter.
How are you, gentlemen?
Morning,
really
Pete.
Well, mate. What do you got for us?
1969. I know I live in the past. I was 83 the other day, so I can't.
Go on, you, Pete. Well done.
George Moore on the Saturday, Easter Saturday, Easter Monday, the Wednesday, and the final handicap was on the Saturday, the following Saturday. In those 8 days, he had 27 rides, 15 winners, 7 places, and there wasn't an SP bookie. They were calling them aeroplane jelly. He couldn't settle. It was unbelievable. It was just, Tommy Smith won the Doncaster on a 33-1 chance no one ever heard of. It came over from New Zealand.
Was it Bye-Bye, I think, or something? Or
Unpainted,
that's right.
And then George Moore rode it into George Main on the Monday and won it weight parade. So it was the people who got 33-1 in the Doncaster on the Saturday were pretty happy.
Oh, Pete.
Good call.
That is a great call.
Good call, Pete.
He was a genius. And people don't really appreciate it. I mean, ever since I've been able to listen to radio, I've been listening to horse racing because mum and dad had a bet. But, there was a great old saying and no doubt Mr. Thomas had heard it plenty of times. You could throw your colours in the jockey's room and whoever picked them up, you'd still have a good jockey. And that's been ever since.
Sydney's been blessed, hasn't it, Peter, with great jockeys. Depth of jockeys in Sydney racing as good as anywhere in the world. Has been for many, many years, Jim.
Standout caller, Peter.
Yeah,
standout caller. 13:53:53. Time now for our Event Cinemas quiz. Mum deserves the absolute best, Raymond, and you know that. The Event Cinemas have got you covered this Mother's Day. Grab an Event Cinemas movie gift to spoil Mum in VMAX or treat her to the luxury of Gold Class.
We're not so about Gold Class.
Once you go to the Gold Class, you never go back. Head to eventcinemas.com.au and get your movie gift card now. That Prakash, he's just amazing, isn't he? Thinks of everything.
Entrepreneurial genius.
Genius, practically a genius, I would have thought. Right, player one is Terry. G'day, Tez.
Good morning.
All right, mate, we need to get you over the line here. Big day for us. Question one. What did the Eels' Dylan Brown get praised for on Tuesday at Prince Albert Square in Parramatta?
Meeting Jimmy Smith.
What was that?
Meeting Jimmy Smith.
Jimmy wanted to give you that too, Terry.
Do we have a question mark? Go upstairs to the video ref or something? No. No. He rushed to the aid of a volunteer who had suffered a seizure. So that was big news, Dylan Brown.
Tough opener for Terry.
Very tough opener. Bad luck.
Bounce the first ball there.
Question two. Which sport has Australian Mitch Wisnowski been signed to play? Is it A, gridiron, B, baseball, or C, basketball?
B.
Oh, just had the draft for the NFL. He's been picked up by the San Francisco 49ers in the fourth round. It's the highest a kicker has gone in about 12, 13, 14 years. He's from Perth. And he's about 26 years of age, too. So good luck for the 49ers and for Mitch this year. Righto, Tez. Come on, mate. Question three. Which country had to change their Cricket World Cup uniform after uproar that it looked like Pakistan's? Was it A, Bangladesh, B, India, or C, South Africa?
A.
Nice.
Yeah,
on the solid board. Gives us something to
put
defend
you in
here. We've got to defend here.
Batting all day. Adrian, you're there. Adrian, good morning.
G'day, mate. How are you?
How are you? Out from Dubbo, WA, Adrian?
Yeah, mate. Out that way.
Any rain last couple of days?
Oh, mate, not much.
Yeah,
not much.
Need a lot more. Hey, Adrian, one to tie, two to win. Best of luck, mate. Here we go. Question number one. Which team is at the bottom of the Australian Conference table in Super Rugby? Which team is at the bottom?
Queensland Reds.
That's a good joke, though. I like it. I feel like giving him a half point, but no, I won't do
it's
that.
It's the Sunwolves.
Nice.
Are they gone next year, the Sunwolves, or the year after?
2019, they're supposed to play.
Next year, then they're gone. Yeah.
How hard are you going to play?
Exactly, I know. Here we go, Adrian. Question number two. Which club has Alan Stachik been appointed head coach to? A, is it
Central Coast Mariners.
Oh, well done. All over that one.
Jeez, Adrian.
Well done. And here we go. This is for the game, Adrian.
Why is everyone cheering in the production room?
Well, they want Adrian to win.
No, they want Adrian to win.
Here we go, Adrian. Which IPL team does Steve Smith play for? A, is it the Delhi Capitals? B, the Rajasthan Royals? Or C, the Chennai Super Kings?
Sorry, what were they again?
Yeah.
Oh,
A, Delhi Capitals. Jimmy's blowing up.
The
NBN
slower at
A, Delhi Capitals.
Are they the Royals? Was the Royals in there?
The Royals are in there. I'll give it. That's good enough for us.
Will you? You'll give it to him?
It's Capitals, Royals, or Super Kings. He's got the Royals. Well done, Adrian. Adrian, is there an event cinemas quiz out your way?
Mate, there's not, but I'll go to Sydney and just happy to beat Jimmy Smith too, right?
Adrian.
Always barracking for you, mate.
Adrian, is there a you got dial-up out there now, or what's going on?
You'll be able to... you go back and play for the Roosters. The bunnies didn't want you.
Funnily enough, the Roosters don't want me either, but anyway.
That's all right.
Congratulations, Adrian.
Good on you, Adrian. Hope you have to spend $150 on fuel just to use your $50 voucher for the Ventilators.
Yeah, we'll throw something else in for the poor guy.
Actually, that's a good point. Yeah. We'll throw a cart and a wingman beer in.
That's it, yeah.
There we
go.
Good on you, Adrian. If you want to have a go at me, that's fantastic. I don't mind that at all.
Cart and a wingman beer.
Cart and a wingman beer and the Event Cinemas tickets there, the VMAX this time around. So I don't know where the nearest VMAX is to Dubbo.
You see, you drive to Sydney.
Yeah, that's why I don't care. Probably at Parramatta, that'll be fine. 9-9, Roman.
Locked up again, James.
Locked up again. All right, we're going to take a break.
Mini break's been
gone. Mini break's been gone. The mini break's on now, then we'll have a chat with Gerard Daffy from tab.com.au and we'll get ourselves ready for race 12 at Churchill Downs. That's called the Kentucky Bunbury.
It's in Louisville. Do you ever tell you what it's in Louisville?
There he comes.
Kevin Tari dashes away in the round with Guinness.
Introducing the best miler of his generation, Kevin Tari, a strikingly handsome son of Lonro and record-breaking Group 1 Randwick Guineas winner. His victory is rated by Timeform as the best ever in the race's history, beating fellow Group 1 winners, Trapeze Artist, Ace High and Argento. Kevin Tari, now standing at Dali for $33,000, including GST. Start with a Dali Stallion and the rest will follow.
It's the Southern Hemisphere's number one sale of its type. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale, May 22 to 24 on the Gold Coast. Over 725 lots by a record 119 individual sires, including 28 exciting first-season stallions. Graduates of the sale include Group 1 stars Fiero, Zoo Star, Seasons Bloom and Red Cell. It's also the premier sale for Penhook Success. View the online catalogue now at magicmillions.com.au. The Magic Millions National Weanling Sale on the Gold Coast, May 22 to 24. The biggest, the best.
Your next bet is as easy as 1-2-3 or 2-1-3 or 1-3-2 or 2-3-1. The Tab's made 1-2-3 even easier with the new Trio. When you have a Trio, it doesn't matter what order your horse has finished. Simply pick the first three in any order to win. Plus, you can now see your approximate payout at the time you place your Trio bet online or via the Tab app. Try a Trio today and make 1-2-3 easier. Tab, who are you backing?
Available to STAB and New South Wales Tab customers only. Gamble responsibly.
Mum, we have a very precious gift card right now at Bingley.
Define precious.
I thought of it and I'm precious.
Yes, Lano, you are.
Spend $650 or more on a washer or dryer at Bingley and you'll receive a bonus Bingley gift card worth up to $250.
That is precious. Send again.
A bonus gift card worth up to $250 when you buy a washer or dryer at Bingley.
Wow.
It was all my idea.
Don't be precious.
Conditions apply.
Still ZM, gold medals is trying his life out. ZM, two lengths in front. Oh, what a Kiwi he is. He's a champion, ZM. He gets redemption. He beats gold medals and he wins the Lindup Living Grand Annual by three lengths.
On Sky Sports Radio and Radio Tab, the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Well, they're saying we're 2 minutes and 20 seconds away from the jump here at
Churchill.
Me into one. We're never quite sure about how that might go about, but we're talking about our best individual performances today. Good morning, best individual performance. Frankie Dettori riding the card at Royal Ascot. Regards, Patrice. Not quite correct.
He rode all seven winners at Ascot. Wasn't the Royal Meeting.
Ascot.
A gentleman with no, or could be a lady with no name. Jimmy's individual performance against Team Ray in the quiz is noteworthy. There you go.
Well, see, why is producer Steve fist pumping when you're contesting?
He was happy for Adrian.
He wasn't. There's our operative over there at Churchill Downs.
There's a few Australian operatives over there.
Never experienced a build-up to a race like this. So I wonder whether Jared Daffy from tab.com.au has been over to the Kentucky Bunbury.
He was at Warrnambool last week.
So you're suggesting Warrnambool, something similar to the Kentucky Bunbury.
Well, let's ask him if he's been to Churchill Downs.
Morning, Jared.
Morning, boys. No, I haven't, and I didn't get to the bull.
Oh, what happened?
I broke down very badly.
Oh.
Actually, it was as bad. They produced the screen.
Oh, no.
So I did a Galleywood.
What happened?
Can you inform the listeners
exactly what happened?
Yeah. No, that's what happened. I got up, my back had been playing up, and I got up Monday morning early at 5 o'clock to go and catch the plane, and I couldn't move.
Oh.
So I had to cancel. But I was fairly happy about that on Friday morning.
He woke up bright and cheery.
It's funny how Ray's back gets very sore on a Monday morning after carrying me for 3 hours here on a Sunday.
Yeah, actually, I was going to say congratulations, Jimmy. I mean, obviously I've become a very loyal listener on a Sunday. Now, your quest of going around Australia just trying to upset every town is on track.
Yes.
Dubbo today, I think there's 80 or 90,000 people live in Dubbo. Well, you've got them offside.
Well, hang on. The bloke was offside before he even started, so I don't know.
What about the poor people at Wellington? We're barred when we're going back to Wellington again. What's the pub?
He won't be able to walk out of his house.
Never go to the Cow and Calf at Wellington. Not unless you want your steak underdone for steak an hour and a half.
Good people at the Cow and Calf, Jared. Seriously.
Now, Jared, just before we get to this race at Churchill Downs, I've got to do our first question in the China Doll long-time listener quiz. Mm. We haven't done it. It was remiss of us. Which team did Joe Pride say should be selected entirely for New South Wales? Which team did Joe Pride say? Don't call now. Call a little bit later. Now,
do I win if I answer it?
Oh, you can't answer
you,
it, though,
you win a $150 voucher courtesy of China
Doll. Can I answer?
You need to wait for all three questions, Jared.
Okay.
Okay. Now, they're just getting in there at Churchill Downs.
It'll take them a while.
Yeah.
Okay.
No, mate, Bob Baffert, I think, has got three runners.
Yeah,
look, he has. I've got a man there on the ground, and he's actually tipped the outsider of the Baffert Trio Roadster, which has been a drifter. It's $11. As you know, Ray, the old saying, forget the selected, back the neglected.
Yeah, I like it.
It's the outsider of the three. So number 17, Roadster, currently $11. And the favourite's been heavily backed here, Improbable, another one of the Baffert runners. I think it was $7 or $6 overnight. It's into $5 favourite now. So there's a fixed odds market and also, obviously, a tab tote market as well.
All right. And wet over there in Churchill.
Yeah, it is. It's often
sloppy,
the case, isn't it?
Sloppy conditions.
They're
almost in, I think.
Yeah, they're almost in now. So, mate, we might take this call, and then we'll come back and go through some of the sport that's available across Australia today. So let's go now. Race 12 at Churchill Downs.
And now the most exciting horse race in the world. The 145th Kentucky Derby. They're in the gate. And they're off in the Kentucky Derby. And Vekoma flashing early speed. Maxim Security is there. Long Range Toddy and Bodie Express from the far outside tries to cross over in this long and dramatic run to the clubhouse turn here at Churchill Downs. And it's Maxim Security out to set the pace. Long Range Toddy is right there and Bodie Express on the outside is racing in third. Vekoma settles in to be fourth. Spinoff is fifth. War of Will is off the pace racing sixth. Improbable is now seventh. Cutting Humor moves along in eighth. Country House on the outside of Code of Honor. They're ninth and tenth together. Tax is 11th and on the inside. Pushka Parfait racing in 12th. By my standards, far off the pace today. 13th and three wide on the first turn. Then it's Grey Magician running along in 14th. Roadster is 15th. Tacitus is 16th by another three to win, who is 17th. Game Winner is 18th. And 12 lengths off the lead for the run down the backstretch. And the World Traveling Master Fencer, the last of them all. A demanding half mile in 46 and 3/5 seconds. And it's Maximum Security racing for the far turn in the Kentucky Derby. Long Range Toddy is right there on the outside. And War of Will with an early move right up and on the leader's heels toward the inside as they move for the far turn. Bodie Express trying to keep pace with them. Improbable is picking through the pack, making a bold run up to be fifth. Country House is there too. Code of Honor saving ground down inside. Cutting Humor is going wide. Tacitus takes off. Here's Tacitus winding up from the back of the pack with five lengths to make up. And Game Winner's coming wide too. Pluska Parfait saving ground all the way. Racing for the top of the stretch. They turn for home in the Kentucky Derby. And Code of Honor has slipped through down inside to challenge for the lead. Country House on the outside battles on too. War of Will is also there. And down toward the inside, Maximum Security is boxing on too. Improbable down the center of the track. There's one furlong to go. It's Maximum Security digging down deep. Country House continues to close on the outside. But Maximum Security at the peak of perfection in the Kentucky Derby wins by two. Country House was second. Code of Honor was there in the photo for third with Tacitus.
There is the winner. It is Maximum Security. So 7:20, and we're just trying to find out the other one. Jared's on the line there. Jared, Maximum Security, $6 is the quote.
Yeah, second favourite. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Great win. Not a skerrick of mud on the horse.
No.
So led from start to finish. All right, we'll get those results and put them up very shortly. But look very wet. But the crowd, just
how
incredible.
How big is it?
Yeah. Yeah, beautiful. Hey, now, a couple of NRL games today. The Warriors up against the Knights. The Eels up against the Dragons. Two very interesting clashes.
They certainly are. And punters always get nervous when the Warriors are at home and odds on favourites. And they've been a bit of a drifter here. I think they were 155 early in the week. They're out to 160. The Knights, there has been some money for them. 250 into 240. We've got a line there of 4.5 points with money for the plus for the Knights. It's into $1.80. And the second game, it's basically going bet for bet here. There's been very little movement in the prices this week. We've got Parramatta at 180, the Dragons at 205, and a small line there, 1.5 points in favour of the Eels. That's $1.90. Take your pick, that one.
AFL today, Jared, the Blue Boys up against the Kangaroos. Geelong looking to go back top of the table outright against the Bombers. The Lions are flying.
Yeah, they are. They were really good again last night, the Lions. Some nervous moments in the first half, but they're not far away, are they?
Yeah.
I think they're on track to make the finals, but I just
good
don't
team
know
to
whether.
Watch.
Yeah, definitely in years to come now. The Blues, well, they'll be plucking people out of the crowd to play today. You take your boots down, Ray. You might get a start.
Game.
They could do worse. I'll tell you what he'd do. He'd run all day.
They're not far off, you know. They're not far away.
Far off what?
Turning the corner. They've been competitive all season. They should have won last week against Hawthorn.
Well, I think the betting would suggest they've got no hope because they've got a lot out. But they've been $1.85 out to $2.50. If they were a horse, you'd be checking how many legs they've got. But $2.50 them. The Kangaroos $1.55. A line there now of 11.5 points. You mentioned Geelong, Ray. A big out there. Joel Selwood is out.
Okay.
So they have been $1.47 out to $1.60 against Essendon, who were good against Collingwood on Anzac Day. $2.40, a line there of 10.5 points. And Adelaide at home, well, they're priced up to their very best because Fremantle have been going along okay at the moment. Adelaide at $1.32. We've got the Dockers there at $3.50 and a big line of 20.5 points. So a couple of player-related moves there today, definitely against Carlton and against Geelong.
NBA, Portland Trailblazers up against the Denver Nuggets. I think it was fourth period of overtime that they got the win. The games, so they've been fantastic. The games today, run through those markets, please.
Just the one today, Jimmy, and it's Golden State who lead this series 2-0. And, well, it's extremely rare that you get black figures for Golden State, not unless the great man Steph Curry is not there. But they went up at 240, not surprisingly, with the love affair that punters have with the Warriors. They're into 220 now, so still outsiders. We've got Houston there at $1.67, a line of 3.5 points. Over 100 markets on this game already, and of course there's live betting throughout. That one gets underway in about an hour and three quarters time. We've got tomorrow's match open as well, which is Philadelphia 177, Toronto 205, and actually Portland do play Denver tomorrow as well, 162 Portland, 230 for Denver.
A-League tonight, everything goes on the line. Elimination final for Adelaide United and Melbourne City. Jared?
It does, and the late push has been for Adelaide United. They're really solid in the market now at 220. This is in the 90 minutes of play. We've got a draw there at 350, and Melbourne City at 320. They're hundreds of markets on this one, and there's also a market to qualify. So basically that is whether the win is in normal time, which includes the draw, extra time or a penalty shootout. And we've got that big clash open for next weekend as well, Sydney FC and Melbourne Victory. Sydney FC open, 225, a draw at 350, Melbourne Victory at 290. Can't wait for that one.
Hey, Jerry, did you see the elbow from Ben Simmons and the $20,000 fine?
No, I didn't, no.
Oh, I thought it was very harsh. I mean, $20,000 neither here nor there to him, but
no,
I didn't think it was.
Was he's not that popular over there, is he?
He's had a running feud with who's the bloke he's had
the whole of the country,
with?
I think.
Oh, right.
No, they don't like him.
Well, that's really? What happens okay. when you get mixed up with a Kardashian. I think that can happen, mind you. I won't say that.
Be careful.
Where
were you going then, Jim?
I don't know, Ray, but I stopped abruptly.
Thank
you. Because I think the Kardashians are actually listeners to this show, so
be
very, very careful what you say. You don't want a lawsuit against yourself, even though you could afford it.
Oh,
we've had a few of them.
Tell you what, they got. Deep pockets, haven't they, the Kardashians?
So have you.
Yeah. And short arms, too. Now, Jared, thank you very much. We'll be back. No, we'll be back, I think. You'll most definitely be back. You never know. Hopefully it's Ray and I next week.
Well, I can't wait until we do that outside broadcast at Dubbo. I'm going to come down for that.
I've got to go to the Cow and Calf of Wellington first.
Cow and Calf of Wellington.
Good stakes there. They're good stakes.
They are not good stakes, Ray.
Yep,
they took an hour and a half
nice
to get
people.
To us.
They had a lot of people in there.
Well, that's what happens when you order it well done, Ray. Jimmy.
Mate, I'm telling you, we had an hour and a half to get to us, and they were underdone. Never again, Raymond.
Well, don't order a well-done one then.
That's right. You're still in the paddock.
They haven't invited us back, Jared.
It's not something we need to worry about. It's no problem with it, yeah. Good on you, mate. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
See you, mate.
Here's an SMS.